Lord Jesus, you are the King of Kings, and we are yours. We declare you as the Son of God. We know that you are, and we know that what you've done on the cross is enough. Thank you that us as your children, us as your people, can gather together. I pray that our eyes will be set on you. Give us a fresh revelation of your heart, Lord Jesus, your plans, your desires, and help us with the grace upon grace that will help us to continue in the way that you are walking. Yeah, I pray that we'll all have grace this morning to experience your joy, to experience your heart, and to walk out here as the body of Christ. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week, I just want to quickly just read a scripture that I read last week in line with the word that Christoph brought quite a while back with the structure or this trellis that is a help for us, that God has set up for us, spiritual disciplines. And when we are applying it, when we are on this trellis, so to speak, we are bearing different fruit. And this trellis has been put up by the great farmer, the one that knows. And I just want to quickly read the scripture again that I read last week, because this week or today, I kind of want to go on the same theme, similar with the same heart, just a different picture. So, and before I do that, I just want to read the scripture quickly out of Ephesians 3 from verse 14. You can just listen. And basically what I was saying last week, if you weren't here, sorry if I'm repeating it, is that the structure of this trellis that God has placed in front of us and has given us is a massive help. But in order to live that way, we need help. And so I was saying, God has given us help, but he wants to help us with this help. He is the help behind the help. Because in my own strength, in my own capacity, I struggle. It's short-lived. And it's the spiritual disciplines like the Sabbath, prayer, fasting. I get encouraged and I know if I live this way, I'm going to bear different fruit. But it starts out great and it just kind of fuzzles out if it's in my own strength. And so I just kind of prepared or laid a foundation of, okay, he has set these things up and it's incredible. But he needs to help us in order to stay there consistently as his children. And in Ephesians, I just want to read it out, Ephesians 3, verse 14. When I think, and he was talking about spiritual growth, and this is one of the reasons why God has placed these structures or this trellis, is so that we can grow, and that there will be spiritual growth, that there will be spiritual fruit in our families, in our lives, in our community, in our school, in our workplace, all over. And Paul, this was Paul's prayer for spiritual growth for the body of Christ. When I think all of this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the Creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray from His glorious, unlimited resources that He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Vasi boere hierso, Christoph, sal dit nie lekker wees om to farm with unlimited resources? Dit sal nogals lekker wees. And this is how he wants to work with us. This is how he wants to help us with the things that he's placed with us. He's got this unlimited resources. And that's what he's saying here. And in all honesty, and very often I don't experience his unlimited resources, possibly because of where I am and my posture and my plans. And how I want to be along the trellis for the fruit that I can enjoy and not him. And then he goes on to say, through his Spirit, then Christ will make his home in your hearts and you will trust him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand all God's power to understand as all God's people should. How wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. And this is the reason why he's put up these structures. And this is the reason why he's got these unlimited resources and helps us through his Spirit, is so that we'll bear this fruit that keeps us close to him, so that we'll understand how wide, how deep, how incredible his love is. Not just to be nice people in a world, not just to be better off, but so that we can be closer to Him. And so there's something in that, the help behind the help. And if you're, you know, desiring to apply these spiritual disciplines, to live according to this way, and find yourself struggling, I want to encourage you to read that and know that God has got unlimited resources and has given the Spirit so that we can continue in His ways. And so I just want to start off with that. Sorry, this thing is glitched out. There it is. Start off with that and same heart, same focus, different picture. And I want to try create a picture, and I want to focus on two aspects as a child of God. Purpose, I think many of us, if you go look at the stats throughout the world, people desiring, longing to have purpose. And the other one, the other aspect is, how does God see me? So these two aspects, we're just going to briefly touch on it, purpose and how God sees me. And I think they're so intertwined, they cannot be separated from each other. They are so intertwined and they cannot be separated from each other. And how does God see me? I think, again, I need to express it just to make very clear that God is way too beyond me to be able to say, this is exactly how God sees you. Or this is exactly how He sees me, because He's just too big for me. But maybe this is an aspect of it. Maybe just a tiny glimpse of how He sees us. And so I would never dare to say this is how He sees you, because He's just way too big for me. But maybe just an aspect of how He sees us. And I want to read a scripture in Ephesians 2. So we're still in Ephesians. Ephesians 2 verse 10. Many of us have heard the scripture. Many of us hold on to it. And it is the truth. Ephesians 2 verse 10 says, "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do good things He has planned for us long ago." We are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things He planned for us long ago. And I want to paint a picture, because all of us are incredibly different. Different cultures, different desires, different longings, different struggles, different battles. And I hope to paint some sort of a picture, because how would I be able to say, your purpose is this way, or yours is that, or mine is this, or how does God see you? But I believe, I'm going to give it a try, and I want to play a little video just to paint a picture for us, to give us an idea that I believe we find in Scripture. How God sees this. Annalise, can you play that little video for us? I think there's something in this video that expresses this beautiful masterpiece, and I just want to get this straight. According to the scripture, I am not the masterpiece, you are not the masterpiece, and if I was, it would say, you are the masterpiece, or it would say, we are the masterpieces. But it doesn't. It says, we are the masterpiece. And this we, he's referring to his church, and me as an individual, I am not the masterpiece, but I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and so are you. And so I want to paint this picture with this, that I think that we are all this little cup, with our own little shade, our own desires, our own gifts, our own talents, just making up part of this masterpiece. And yes, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And this artist behind this massive masterpiece, this picture that he has, he knows what he's doing. And I think we heard it this morning, there's some sort of surrender that we need to come to a point of, to say, Lord, please have your way with me. Please have your way with me. And in the midst of that, I have purpose. But it doesn't always look so clear. Because in the midst of just looking at where I am right now, I'm not really seeing the bigger picture most of the time. But my cup, if it is in God's hands, is busy being worked, is being built and has been colored for the bigger picture. And so, how does God see you? I believe that he sees you part of his church, part of his bigger picture. And it's crucial to know that it's not about me. That we are so part of this bigger picture that I think the enemy knows that so well, and unfortunately, he gets one thing right. And I've read the stats, mostly in the Western churches, there's people that are following Christ and are wondering and doubting and unsure of their purpose. And I think it's because of a few reasons, but one of them being that the cup is trying to find purpose in itself. That it doesn't understand that I'm a contributing factor to a larger picture, and so desperately trying to find out in this cup, how does my purpose look? How does my picture look? What should I be doing? And I don't know if maybe you can do an experiment if you have to take a cup, maybe a red one or a cream one or a whatever one, and you have to try now mix a bunch of colors there, try to find purpose. What's going to happen with the cup? It's going to become stained. And the enemy knows this. And so what is at stake when the cup is stained? The masterpiece. And so what does the enemy do? He does all that he can to focus on the beautifully and wonderfully made cup. To get so busy with itself that it forgets about all the other cups and all the other pictures and all the other larger picture that is really a reality. And he's done this very, very well. And he's doing it very, very well also. And one of the ways that he's doing it is the sermon that Christoph gave about this rhythm, this full and fast life, where this cup has been caught up in a rhythm of this world, and as a result of this, being stained. And I want to read just before this, Scripture in verse 10, for we have peace. He has created us anew. So just before that, Paul was talking, and I want to read it. And please know that the battle is not against flesh and blood. And I think most of us know this. I think this is just an encouragement. This is not a how-to. This is just a fresh reminder that we are part of this incredible masterpiece. Each one fearfully and wonderfully made. God has got a desire. He knows. May we come to a place of saying, it's chaos. My cup is full of not what you intended. Make me clean again. And so just before the scripture where Paul talks about being this masterpiece of God, in verse 1, Ephesians 2, in verse 1, he talks about what it was before, and this is kind of in line with what Christoph was sharing about this rhythm, and I just want to say it again. I've said it over and over, but I want to say it again. I've realized that if I am not managing my rhythm, along with God's grace, with his help, with the help of the Word, and the help of the Holy Spirit, if I am not managing it, the world will manage it for me. That rhythm of the world will get caught into it without even knowing it. And we'll look back and realize, what rhythm am I in? And this rhythm is staining our cups. But this is what Paul said. Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins, you used to live in sin. And just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world, he is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live in that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everyone else. But God, in so rich in his mercy, he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms. And because we are united with Christ Jesus, so God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of His grace and His kindness towards us, as shown in all He has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. So God saved you by grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for good things we have done. So none of us can boast about it. Then it says, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us new in Christ Jesus, so we can do good things He has planned for us. This is the only place that we find our purpose, is in Christ Jesus. Unfortunately, many of us know the rhythms of this world, I myself, and I realize how it stained this cup, how it kept me so busy just with this cup, trying to figure out what's my purpose in this cup, forgetting that my purpose is not just this cup. My purpose is the masterpiece, or anyways, part of it. And I don't have a list of, okay, this is your purpose, this is how to get it, but there's just a fresh encouragement to get an eternal perspective. An eternal rhythm, knowing that we are part of an eternal picture and not just one here on earth. And I want to read this scripture, Colossians 3, 1 to 4, living the new life, it says. Living the new life. Living the new life. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth, for you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the world, you will share in His glory. You will share in His glory. We will share in His glory. Once it comes to that point where we are looking back, and we are seeing and understanding this masterpiece, this plan that He has that I don't always get right now, and I don't always understand why I go through what I go through. But it may be, just maybe, that He's working. The great artist is doing what he should be doing as long as we are in a position where He is allowed. And that's the great difference between this tree against the trellis or this cup in the artist's hand. Is that we are in a position to say, yes, Lord, have your way with me. Stain me, color me, do with what you want with me so that I can fit into this masterpiece. Because if I look at this and I think about the video, I cannot see myself. Can you see a cup there? I can't see a cup there. But I see an incredible picture. And so often, all that I see today, me, myself, and I, is just my cup. Oh, it's just me. Oh, what should I do? How should I do it? And the most incredible thing that we can do is know that this is the body of Christ. And my purpose is found in functioning as a member. As an individual cup that plays a part in the bigger picture. But I forget that. I think that I'm a finger there on the corner somewhere trying to do my thing. And no, it doesn't work like that. So my purpose as a child of God is always found in the body of Christ. There's no other way to function in purpose other than to function as a member or to function as an individual cup, part of a bigger picture. And so how does God see you and me? Yes, intimately. There's a beautiful, intimate relationship, fearfully and wonderfully made. But when He sees you and me, He sees you and me part of the larger picture. Not just you and me. Here I am, Lord, just focus on me, me, myself, and I, because that's what I do. That's my perspective on this cup, not His perspective. His perspective is me part of the bigger picture, a functioning member. And yes, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. So, how can we walk out here with some sort of help to keep me in this place of knowing how God sees me and my purpose within the functioning body, within this masterpiece. Well, I don't have a list, but I've got four questions maybe, or four elements that if you ask yourself them constantly, or if you pray them and say, Lord, I'm definitely not here, but I want to be. Please help me. Help me with this purpose. Because to be honest with you, the stats say, and I did say it, but the stats say that the Western church or the Western Christians is struggling the most to understand what their purpose is. And the lack is not resources. It's not being able to come together. It's because I believe that we are so focused on the cup alone. And in the cup alone, trying to find our purpose. Trying to find my picture. What am I born to do? No, you are born to be a cup, part of the bigger picture. And when we do find that out and we do realize that, we realize that purpose comes alive. And it's that straightforward. And you know what? It takes a lot of stress off you. It takes a lot of pressure off. That you have to try achieve and become this purposeful person. Yeah, you're just part of the plan. You're part of the purpose. Oh, and it's a beautiful, restful place where we can know, oh, Lord, thank you so much that I don't have to strive to become this whatever it is in this little single cup. But I can submit and say, work it in, Lord. What color? What shade? How does it look? And to know that I'm not so important, that I'm not the masterpiece, but I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, that I'm part of the masterpiece, where God can have His way, where we can take this incredible pressure off ourselves to find out what is my purpose and how can I live my little bubble life in my purpose. It's a dangerous way. It's a dangerous place to be. It's a dangerous place to be. So, four elements that might help us. And by all means, I want to encourage us to say, I'm not getting this right all the time. It's not a perfect Christian life that we have to try. It's a desire, and it's a prayer, and it's a longing, and it's a constant, Lord, help me. Just as you were helping the tree to stay against the trellis, to bear beautiful fruit. Just as you, as the great artist, is helping and making sure that the cups should be where they are, placed where they are, doing what they should do, the color that they should have. These four elements, anyone seen this before? Make sure when you walk out here that that thing is empty at the back, please, and then you can pray this. So these four elements, living intimately with Jesus, learning Jesus' teaching, becoming like Jesus, and continuing Jesus' work. If I, as a cup or part of the body, a member, if I am desiring that, praying that, longing for that, living that, I'm pretty sure that God will be working His shade in, His purpose in, where I should be. This is not a ministry on its own. This is a lifestyle. In my workplace, with my children, in my house, in the shops, wherever I'm going, living intimately with Jesus. Out of that place, we're a cup where the great artist can have his way. Submitting and saying, Lord, please have your way. I want to live so close with you that you can have your way. Learning Jesus' teachings, straightforward. Once we learn his teachings, we'll know how to live them. We'll at least know what to live them. When we know it, we know what. Becoming like Him. This is a natural response, I believe. This is a natural response of living intimately with Him and learning His teachings and being so close to Him. Just like a mirror, I'll be reflecting something. And if I'm so close to Him, always my eyes on Him, there's a reflection that naturally happens. We become more like Him and people see something of Jesus Christ. This incredible God that wants to reveal Himself to the rest of the world that needs to know how wide, how deep, how incredible, how good this artist is. And continuing His work And I also want to say there's a definite effort in this for sure, but my personal experience, me being so close to Jesus, being with him, there's a natural desire to continue what he wants to do. There's a longing in my heart to see a joy in his heart and to continue his work, however that looks in my sphere, in my workplace, in my family, to continue his work. And so if I'm walking out here today, knowing that I'm just a cup, the pressure's off, he knows what he's doing, he's placing me where I should be, all that I need to make sure is am I worth? Am I these four elements? And not to strive to get it right, to pray and ask him for help. Please help me, Lord Jesus. I want to live intimately. But I want to give you good news, and maybe for some bad news, but I think it's incredible news, that this is not a prosperity purpose teaching, that sometimes the cup is not always that easy, and we don't understand. And we've got communion today, but I want to read a scripture that will encourage us to know that when it's tough, when it's difficult, there is a bigger picture. I think the crucial thing is am I with, am I close to the one that can work in and have his way? And Jesus was also part of this masterpiece, a crucial part, as a man on earth, came down as a man on earth, and also was a cup. And just before the cross, he also experienced that it was tough. He didn't really understand. And he asked the Lord, and he said, in Luke 22:41, he says, he walked away about a stone's throw from his people, and he knelt down and prayed, Father, if you are willing, please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine. This incredible cup that he took on, where he allowed God to have his way, was an incredible part of the masterpiece. And if it wasn't so, where would we be? And so this life with God, walking with Jesus, this empty cup, it is full of everything. It is absolutely incredible. It's full of joy, full of peace. It is tough at times, and we don't understand what the bigger picture is. We don't always understand why things happen the way that they happen, but we want to, but we don't always. And everything in between, incredible, bad, terrible, great, all the emotions in between that we as a cup experience until we are done here. And I want to encourage us to say, yo, if we are staying close and the help behind the trellis, then he will have his way. He works all things out for those who love him. That's what the scripture says. But as a cup, I've got a choice to submit, even when things are tough. And please, don't seek your own purpose in your own cup. Seek it in the bigger picture. And so I want to share communion with this in mind, that this cup that he took on, that eventually went to the cross, so that sin could be dealt with, the very thing that is separating me and my Lord, sin that came in, he took that sin out so that we could be brought close again. That was the cup that he was willing to take. It was difficult, but at the end said, not my will, Lord, but your will be done. I'm not sure how your cup is looking at the moment, and it's really in agreement with what Christoph shared this morning. At times, our cups are chaos. Things that is raging. And I want to encourage you to know that the enemy does have a desire to stain this cup. Because if each cup, one at a time, is being stained, what happens to the picture later? Cup by cup, being stained. It's not our, we don't have to be so hard on ourselves, know that the battle is against flesh and blood. It's not. It's against the principalities of this world. The enemy has got a plan, and he knows that there's a masterpiece, and he knows that he can steal, kill, and destroy by saying, hey, there's another rhythm. And if you don't manage it, you fall in that rhythm. And slowly but surely, the world rhythm, this pattern of this world starts standing. Slowly but surely. Well, yeah, it's for honor. And to know that that's the enemy's plan, is to stain us cup by cup. Because he's not against you so necessarily. He's against the master. He's against the master. That's his plan. And if he can stain one cup at a time, he's going to try his best. But thank goodness for this incredible riches of grace. Thank Jesus Christ that he said in that garden, oh Lord, this cup, are you willing to take it away from me? But not my will, your will be done. And because of that cup that he drank, we can be in a position to say, here I am, Lord. I'm a cup that has been stained. There's chaos, there's chaos, but please cleanse me. Please make me clean. Because it can only be done through the cross of Jesus Christ. Only. There's no other way. So that he can start working in, again, to the shade of your cup, because you are part of a larger picture, and you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And God wants to use us as individuals, yes. And he has this intimate, beautiful desire for you and me intimately. Why? Because there's a bigger picture. And we need to realize that. We need to be encouraged. We need to know that I'm part of a bigger picture. And may this Western rhythm, this world, the ways of this world, may we become free of it. The self-centered, focusing just on my cup, how can my picture come out? No, you're just a shade in a beautiful picture that he's busy putting together. And according to Revelation, oh, it's stunning. And what is it? In its eternal plan that his people will come back to him. That again, like it was in the beginning, it was good. Very good. Why? Because they were close to one another. And that's where it's heading to. That's this masterpiece that his people, his bride, his children would make this beautiful masterpiece. And the masterpiece is his people back with him. It's good. Very good. According to him in the beginning. And that's the plan. But without Jesus taking that cup on the cross, cleansing us so that he can have his way, making the shades, where would we be? So maybe if we have the team, let's dish out the communion. So I think what I'm trying to let us know and just remind us and encourage us with these two pictures of the great farmer with unlimited resources that has put the trellis in place, this incredible artist that knows the shade, knows what to be doing, is really to rely and to be dependent on him, as Christoph said this morning. There's this incredible faith, hierdie geloof, where we can say, oh, Lord, have your way with me. Have your way with me. And it sounds nice, but it's really what he does when we put ourselves into that posture. And we don't see it or experience it maybe immediately, but if we look back over time with that constant, Lord, please have your way with me, with that constant, Lord, please help me, over time when we look back, we really realize that he does. We really, really does. And so what an incredible privilege to be able to be in Christ as a result of what he has done on the cross, a cup that is busy being worked in. And I want to encourage you, where you are today, if you are wondering that God is at work, he is. Dankie. He is, he really is. Because it's his desire, it's his kingdom, it's his passion, it's he knows what he's doing and he loves it more than we do. But let's just have a moment of stillness. And I want to kind of just latch on to what Christoph shared this morning. In line with this picture of cups. If your cup has been stained, there's only one way that it can be cleansed. And that is the cross of Jesus Christ, what he done. So before we take communion, let's just have a moment of being still before him, knowing the power of the blood and that his flesh was torn apart so that we could have life. Oh, let's pray. We will take the cup that he has shed for us. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for this incredible plan that you lived out. That it came to the cross where sin could be dealt with so that we can be close to you, part of this masterpiece. And we take this in remembrance of your blood, Lord Jesus. It is your blood that has cleansed us, that has set us free, so that you could have your way, and so that we could be close to you. We take this cup with us in mind, Lord, as a complete dependence on you. As the scripture says, it's not our own works that have done it. We cannot take no credit. We give you all the glory. And we are just an empty cup, asking you to have your way. Let's take this cup in that. Our Lord Jesus, we know that your life gives life. And this is why you shed that blood. That's why you died on the cross, so that we could have life, so that we could be close to you again, so that it would be like it was in the beginning. Very good. Very good. And we take this bread with that in mind. That it's only your life that gives life. And Lord Jesus, I pray that as we walk out here today, that we will know that our purpose lies in functioning as a member of a larger body. And yes, we've got talents and gifts and all the things that you have given us. We know that you have made us fearfully and wonderfully. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, that we can live these things out, that we can enjoy the way that you have made us. But I pray in Jesus Christ's name that we will know that that's part of this incredible masterpiece. That it's not the masterpiece itself. I pray that we'll have a grace upon grace that will help us to set our eyes on things eternal. The larger picture. I pray in Jesus' name that we'll have an eternal rhythm. That we'll be careful of the rhythm of this world that so longs to stain these cups. Because the enemy is against you, Lord. And so we submit under you, Father, and we resist the devil. Thank you that you've made a way for us to come to you and to be cleansed. That every single stain can be removed so that you can have your way. I pray that we will all be in a posture of submitting under you, Lord Jesus, so that you can have your way. Help us with that. Help us to be your masterpiece. Fearfully and wonderfully made as an individual. So intimate with you, but so part of a larger picture. I don't fully grasp it, Lord, but I know it. I see it in your word. I experience it. Oh, and it's good. I pray for everyone here that as we walk out, we'll ask ourselves these four questions. And we will pray them, and we will desire them. We will desire to live intimately with you, to learn your teachings and to become like you, and to continue your work so that other cups can form part of this incredible masterpiece that you so long, and that's the end. when we are back with you, your bride, your people. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Brett, thank you. Ek het sommer net ervaar dat ons hierdie week wat voor lê, elke keer as die geleentheid om voordoen 'n profetiese aksie moet doen. So you can just say we agree or no, I don't feel. So wat ek ervaar het is whenever you as family or as friends, as het vanavond by die rugby is, as het as selgroep is, when it's two friends together, het voel vir my, ek ervaar die Here sê, gebruik communion, met ietsie spesifiek en focus, take a whole piece of bread, sit together and break it then, there, moet nie voor die tyd he. Eating from one body, is not only making us one with him, it's also making us one of, en ietsie breed jou hart, jy het my hart gesny vir iets wat ek weet, maar een oortuiging vir oggend ervaar, this is one of the keys for the Western Church, is to ask the God for redemption of our individual nature. En so ek wil ons net uitnooi, ek sien 'n paar koppe, stem saam, so if you feel comfortable with it, in die volgende week, whenever you've got a chance, gebruik nagmaal, vat die brood, simbolies breek het as een stuk waar julle by mekaar sit, give it to one another and say, Lord, make us one. Make us one. Not only with you, but with one another as well. That God can help us with this, because we really need him to help us with our individual. Amen. God bless you. Thank you, Albrecht.